companion to this story in truth is found in the book of Jonah. So he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to sail for Tarshish, and he paid the fare and boarded it. The easy way can be a trap. Paul had advised against it. The owner and the captain decided they knew more than Paul and ordered the ship into the Mediterranean, and it proved to be a foolish command. Millions decide they know more than the preacher, and they have soft winds and balmy skies to prove it. I'll tell you this, mister. Preachers are right about direction, and when they warn you about storms, you need to listen. Millions have experienced this to his or her sorrow. Booze always starts with a south breeze and a convenient sail, and so do theft and embezzlement. The weather smiled so pleasantly at this crew that they hugged the shore and enjoyed the scenery. And they took chances that rules of seamanship forbade. They should have had passengers and cargo with plenty of water under the hull. Suddenly they were caught with no room to navigate. There are always sirens and shipwrecks. The temptation to take chances and succeed where others have failed is always a lure. It can't happen to us. That has been bait in the sad record of mankind. Prosperity and ease are snares. I have much goods laid up. Well, that's a deadly enemy. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring forth. What is smiling at you now may be smashing you before midnight. Don't ridicule the preacher, lady. He's not the community wet blanket. He's your best forecaster. He is the person in your community who is in touch with heaven. Others may be in touch with history and politics and capital gains. The preacher has insight that they do not have. Youth are beguiled. Why build character? Get going. It's sunny, and the scenery is spectacular. Youth is persuaded it will be pleasant trip all the way. Youth can't wait to get started. Youth marks it down as heresy. They laugh at the fantasy of waves and shrieking wind. No one is going to frighten them or deny a sail in the sun. We dwell in the most educated period of history in our youth, the last and least prepared for life. The deception is so skillful it makes you weep. The experts predict smooth sailing. Planned parenthood, grown-up ideas about sex, liberated living, state welfare, casual morals. It's not popular to chart storms. There will always be enough energy. Why conserve? Live with inflation. Let's have a gentleman's agreement to keep it below the 10% growth rate annually. Budgets are window dressing. Keep building deadlier bombs and hope that man doesn't blow his planet apart. Sanitize society. This is the real meaning of the second coming, to have Jesus appear again in labor unions and the entertainment industry. And who's afraid of the great tribulation? Well, blind leaders of the blind, it's wicked to deny their storms and to make no preparation for them. How many Pearl Harbors will it take? A great shipbuilder does not build his vessel for the calmest weather. He designs his ship to face the fury of the sea. How will I sail under stress? The coach wants to know that about his team. The submarine commander wants to know what his boat can withstand under an attack of depth charges. How will the airplane perform amid winds aloft? Don't be seduced by the calm. When health fails, what then? When investment turns sour, what then? When friends desert, what then? Well, the easy way always beckons. Jonah thought he had found a bargain. A ship ready to sail toward a port of his own choosing. So many young women think they've got it made. Beauty will last, appeal will last, vigor will last. Every sign is favorable. Suddenly, there's a rude awakening. Bust lines begin to sag. Skin ravages can no longer be hidden. Lines appear, wrinkles force high neck lines. Feet and ankles swell, and the fresh crop are pressing behind. The competition gets tough. Well, it's bad when you have nothing to fall back on beside paint and powder. You do some thinking when you hit the bottom. Jonah did. God doesn't seem so far away then. God's way seems a lot better than your own choice. Suddenly you get a chance to get acquainted with yourself. It's a shock. I want to see that sophisticated young doll the morning after her Lothario walks out and tells her he'll pay for the divorce. She'll live with the damage. She didn't need the Bible. She didn't need prayer. The dance and the cocktail were enough for her. It's a different story when the storm strikes, honey. Suddenly you need something solid to bring you through. More than one person has been suckered, supposing they obtained their purpose. Satan wants to add you to that list. Children lead sheltered lives. Parents, you must prepare them for life. Assign them jobs. See that there's performance. Otherwise, they'll grow to believe society owes them an existence and reward without an investment of toil. Let them seek jobs to pay for college tuition. My father's philosophy toward me was, well, son, it's out there. Go get it. It built initiative and persistence. Too many children are coddled. The teaching profession is making the same mistake. A generation is deceived that they can hug the shoreline and enjoy an almanac of cloudless skies. Now, church member, it's not whether you can do without the righteousness of God now. Can you do without Bible foundation in periods of struggle? Will your faith survive and say, if God is for us, then who is against us? Who will separate us from Christ's love? Affliction, distress, persecution, famine, destitution, danger, sword. But in all this, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor authorities, neither present nor future affairs, neither powers of the heights, nor of the depths, nor anything else created will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That'll keep you in prisons, and that will keep you in heartbreak, and that will keep you in a wheelchair, and that'll keep you when suddenly you're unemployed. There's more to it than a sudden dash of feeling. Well, you say, well, there's one thing sure. I'm young and strong, and no one can take that from me. Well, you sound like this text. There's nothing so temporary. Check hospital, clinic, institution. It'll sober your estimate. There's always time. That's the popular persuasion. The comfort of eventuality. I really don't need Jesus right now. But perhaps you won't have that chance. One small error in judgment and the medics can change the tag at the hospital. Dead on arrival. The crowd is all for sailing. Forget caution. We'll make it. So often you hear, it's my ship. And I'll do what I think best. You forget there are others involved. No one lives to himself. Think husband before you involve your family. Think executive before you involve your employees. Others will pay for your mistake. Now, what are your principles? Will they carry you through? Jesus taught that it's foolish to build quickly and superficially. He said, dig down, dig till you find this solid rock. The foundation is important. He thought so. He spent 30 years in preparation for 3 years of public life. It took the lessons of Nazareth to sustain him in Pilate's judgment hall. Ahab surrounded himself with a commune of paid optimists. These false prophets preached what they were paid to preach. And Jehoshaphat wanted the truth. He knew both Ahab and himself were facing battle, a fight to the death. He said, inquire first, what is the Lord's will? Ahab was surrounded by smoothies. They urged, go, it'll be a success. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not some other prophet of the Lord around here that we may inquire of him? And Ahab remembered reluctantly, there is one other fellow through whom we may seek advice from the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good to me. Now, would you rather have truth or flattery? Ahab's ship was about to flounder. A soldier threw his bow without specific aim and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. And he called to his charioteer, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I'm critically wounded. But 400 prophets said that he would make it. One man told him the truth. And it pays to listen. I may not always hear what I would like to hear. The truth shall set you free. Not every ready ship is a right ship. Jonah lived to tell the difference. There came a point where Paul the prisoner took charge. Captain crew panicked. The man they should have heard spoke. I have faith in God, he said, that it will happen in accord with what was told me, and not a single person among you will perish, only the ship. Anyone can be a hero in smooth sailing, lady. It's the rough weather that divides the talkers and the doers. And I'll tell you this, sooner or later, you'll hear the preacher. Better you listen in the beginning. Don't get carried away by what appears to be smooth sailing. So long as you reject advice, because you think it's old-fashioned to listen to what God says, you're headed toward trouble. You foster the elements of disaster and destruction in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and lead not to your own understanding, and he will direct thy path. That's the safe way. Seek counsel. Learn to take advice. It'll save you staggering losses in life. Paul stood among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and so spared yourself this damage and loss." It's the old Dutch advice you read in Lancaster, Pennsylvania country. So soon old and so late smart. The smart person is the person who yields himself or herself in full obedience to the will of God. For the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And you'll discover in the end, Mr. Sinner, that God has always been trying to help you. Salvation isn't a hindrance, it's a help. This story in Acts spells it out in a sea tragedy. When nothing else could help, then love lifted me. So count on it. God will be there when everyone else is abandoning you. And in your worst storm, you'll hear, "Lo, it is I. Be not afraid." Now these precious moments by the Lord have arrived. And in these next 10 seconds, we'll bow before him at the long, long altar. Hazel Cantrell found the long, long altar at McMinnville, Tennessee. Her son was an alcoholic, drunkard. "But Jesus has delivered our son," they write, "in a redemptive miracle. The desire was canceled. For what God has done in our home, we would be glad to pay the total expense for a revival town around the world if we could. That long, long altar has been so precious to us." Mary Ann Noble found the long, long altar at Bloom City, Wisconsin. "My husband and I had separated, and soon after I knelt with you, he came home, and we are reunited in church. It's been a wonderful change." Now these are answers. I believe in answers sent from another world. I'm going to seek them with you. Savior, we love thee. It's our righteousness and peace to confess thee as the only begotten Son of God, divine. Thou art that seed of the woman. I thank thee for forgiving sinners at this altar. I thank thee for freeing human beings from vile and degrading transgressions. And I pray for teenage mothers trying the best they know how to be mothers. Give these girls understanding friends. And I pray for widows desperately alone and needing to meet the right people. I pray for those who work through storm and sunshine to keep our phones in order. Give us the best service on earth. I can never thank thee enough for Calvary. I can never thank thee enough for Pentecost. Thou art a God rich in mercy and in grace. So guide us toward thy blueprint for each life. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer is better than wealth. Better than education, better than travel. It's a supreme privilege to talk to God. Jesus asks, "What wilt thou have me to do unto thee?" One man replied, "That I might receive my sight." And Jesus is the mighty eye surgeon of the universe. I have a message in my spirit that right now he is loosening the cataracts on the eyes of a friend of his in this audience. This is his gift to you. Use this miracle of restored sight to God's glory. Use it to spread God's kingdom. I'm so, so happy for you. I'm his servant evangelist. Now this is the meeting. We're gathered from all points by the Spirit. Our fellowship is in him, not in man-made promotion or product of a religious pitch. The tug is something from above, and we have this in common. We're expecting the bridegroom. He will come as a thief first. He will appropriate what is his from the cemeteries, and then the crowd who love him will be caught up. It isn't fiction. It's in your Bible, and I intend to leave quickly, changed in the twinkling of an eye. How is it possible? Through the Spirit. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.